This is Annie Stevens Gleason, Minister for Worship and Incorporation at the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd like to welcome you to our worship podcast.
This is the Holy Eucharist, Rite 2, for Wednesday in Holy Week, March 27th, 2024.
Thank you. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
Doors forever.
Jesus said, the first commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, whose blessed Son, our Savior, gave his body to be whipped and his face to be spit upon, give us grace to accept joyfully the sufferings of the present time, confident of the glory that shall be revealed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear. To listen is those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord.
To God.
Our psalm for this evening is Psalm 70, found on page 682, and let us read it together. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those who seek my life be ashamed and altogether dismayed. Let those who take pleasure in my misfortune draw back and be disgraced. Let those who say to me, aha, and gloat over me, turn back because they are ashamed. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say forever, "Great is the Lord." But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me speedily, O God. You are my helper and my deliverer. O Lord, do not tarry.
A reading from a letter to the Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once." The Gospel of our Lord.
Thank you.
name of God who creates us, reconciles us, and sustains us. Good evening. I have a Holy Week riddle for you. What two people in the Bible both have names with five letters beginning with a J and ending with an S? Hint, they were both mentioned in today's gospel reading. Easy peasy. Jesus and Judas, right? Judas Iscariot, to be factual. Now, in an attempt to get inside of his head, I played the part of Judas in this last Sunday's Passion reading. Because after all, the Bible says really very little about Judas. It's very sparse and ambiguous what the Bible says. Even though his name and reputation have been vilified extensively in history, art, and literature. What the Bible does say is this: Judas betrayed Jesus by identifying him to the authorities for arrest at the cover of night. And this was to avoid a daytime ruckus with the whole world watching. You know, CBS News, NBC News. They didn't want that kind of thing. Crucifixion was the desired end result. Now, in John and Luke, Judas is possessed by the devil. And in Mark and Luke, Judas hands over Jesus to the chief priests, who then pay him a reward. Now, there's this a little bit different nuance in Matthew. Matthew says that the wanted Jesus is betrayed in order to receive a reward. Now, John says nothing about a reward at all, except that Jesus stole from the common purse. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is identified with a kiss. But in John, Judas stands by in silence while Jesus is arrested. In Matthew, after returning the 30 pieces of silver, Judas hangs himself. Now, Luke, on the other hand, tells us in Acts that Judas uses the ill-gotten gain to buy a field and in falling onto it, bursts open, spilling his bowels all over the ground. These are all different nuances and different, you know, drifts of a story. However, they're all variations on a common theme: betrayal and consequences. Betrayal and consequences. So we want to explore this. Why did Judas sell out Jesus? Now, did the devil really make him do it? Well, that's what the gospel lesson says. But the so-called Gospel of Judas, recently discovered, suggests that Jesus told Judas to do it. I mean, what motivated Judas to do such a thing? What were his expectations, preconceived notions? What were his prejudices? And so that brings into the question, what are ours? What are our expectations and notions and prejudices? Well, how about this theory? Out of a twisted love of country, Judas was really trying to provoke Jesus to overthrow the Romans because they were oppressing the people and not really intending to kill Jesus at all. Or was his betrayal intended to eliminate an increasingly activist Jesus, you know, before the annoyed Romans would retaliate against the Jewish people whom he loved? Or maybe he was unhappy with his place in the pecking order. It is said that pride is the root of all evil. Was false pride Judas's downfall? Now, I'll share something with you. At one time, a psychologist speculated that I had unresolved anger issues. Well, I'm still working on it. But I got me to wondering, was Judas lashing out in anger? I don't know. Are we dealing with a jealous Judas? Was Judas jealous of Mary intimately anointing and washing Jesus' feet with her hair? Is that really why he complained that the large sum of money to buy expensive perfumes could have been better spent on the poor? Or was he really being altruistic? I don't know. However, you know, we're sort of convinced that Judas was stealing from the common purse. And maybe after all, it was just about the 30 pieces of silver. Now, I don't know if you remember, but as Phil said in his sermon on Monday, Judas is a veritable hot mess. Controversial, difficult to figure out. Judas is a very real riddle. Which begs the question, who reminds you of Judas? Who reminds you of Judas? Now, for me, three people come to my mind: King David's betrayal of Uriah, an ex-president, which one? And a one-time business associate, but I don't want to go into that right now. It's an ugly story. What about corrupt Wall Street bankers, war profiteers, drug lords, traffickers in human beings? Now, these are the kind of people that we just love to hate. But let's get a little closer to home. Have you ever been a victim of gossiping? Gossiping has consequences, you know, whether intended or not. And did you know that, I looked it up, did you know that a synonym for gossip is to betray? Judas represents the people we are close to who have betrayed us on a very personal level, and we thought we knew them. Yeah? So is Judas to be despised or pitied? Well, one pet heresy I lean towards is universal salvation. I just know God has this plan. It's all about love, grace, and mercy, and forgiveness, right? But is Judas the exception, being condemned to eternal damnation? I don't know if you're familiar with Dante's Inferno, but in Dante's Inferno, we find Judas in the lowest ninth circle of hell for traitors. He's being constantly chewed up in the mouths of a three-headed Satan. I can just picture that. Or, you know, maybe Judas is kind of really like the woeful creature, like poor Gollum in The Lord of the Rings. He's someone to be pitied. Yes. Or another thing I thought of is he something like the Nowhere Man that the Beatles sang about in three-part harmony? And one of the lines in that song is, "Isn't he a bit like you and me?" Well, let's get back to the gospel reading. Having his last supper with the disciples, a troubled Jesus announces that one of them is his betrayer. And you know, if you read that carefully, every one of them is bewildered. They have no clue. And their uncertainty suggests that actually it could be any one of them. A notable example is Peter, who refutes that he would ever deny Jesus, but then does so three times, cock-a-doodle-doo. And speaking of Peter, he's the one that beckons John, the beloved disciple, reclining right next to Jesus to ask for the name of the traitor. Well, and Jesus answers, kind of vaguely, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread," he says. Well, Judas may have gotten the first piece of bread, but he didn't get the last piece of bread. They all shared the very same communal bread and wine. And then we will do that very shortly together. And I take great comfort in doing that with you, because I confess that I too have betrayed Jesus, selling him out to suffering and death in this time and place by failing to love as I should. Here's the question before us in this day and age. Isn't Jesus among us even now as the other, the last, the lost, the least, the lonely, and the left out? Jesus beckons us to love God and to love one another. And, you know, fortunately, we all have a community to do that, but many others do not. Now, paradoxically, I think we can look to Judas for answers, actually. Judas must have loved Jesus from the very beginning,
like his colleagues, his fellow disciples, he dropped everything he was doing, giving up a known way of life to be with the itinerant Jesus, becoming his disciple. My goodness, it was for 3 or more years. And their lives then became intimately and intricately intertwined. But what got in the way of this? What got in the way? Well, perhaps a fearful Judas may have succumbed to typical human foibles. I can guess perhaps greed, entitlement, envy, doubt, anger, uncertainty, whatever. The thing is, it all culminated in an act of betrayal, and Judas rejected that intimacy with Jesus, breaking that relationship, breaking that bond of affection. Yet, the hope of Judas is our hope. Even while being betrayed with a kiss, Jesus calls Judas friend. He called him friend. Imagine it. Jesus sees Judas for who he really is. Vulnerable, with a capital V, and a friend. And did not Judas's post-betrayal behavior demonstrate regret and repentance? Redemption happens through repentance and forgiveness. And Paul tells us that nothing separates us from the love of God, not even death, not even any kind of manner of death, and not even betrayal. And Paul should know. God's love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness is unrelenting and irresistible. The Bible is salt and pepper with words in recognition of our human condition. And they are words of hope and inspiration. Like, for example, today's reading from Isaiah says, "It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty?" And in the Psalm, "But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me speedily, O God. You are my helper and my deliverer." And then the very last line of that psalm is, "O Lord, do not tarry." Hurry up. I particularly like the way Frederick Buechner relates Jesus and Judas to our human condition. Buechner wrote, "Judas is only the first person in a procession of betrayers 2,000 years long. If Jesus were to exclude him from his love and forgiveness to one degree or another, he would have to exclude all of us, all of humanity." Now, Buechner also conjectured something interesting, that when Jesus descended to hell, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, when Jesus descended into hell, he met his old bud, Judas, once again in the shadows, this time the shadows of hell. Only it was this time Jesus who was the one to give the kiss, but at this time it was not a kiss of death, but a kiss of life. And you know, it occurs to me that Judas was the first person that Jesus saved. And our lives, like Judas, are also intricately and intimately intertwined with Jesus. And then when that relationship is broken, it's renewed and healed. And I offer here as a last conclusion, wrapping it up, I think this is the real riddle of Jesus and Judas. God loves us at our very worst, yesterday, today, and forever. We have been loved, we are being loved, and we will be loved. And the worst betrayal is that of ourselves by denying God's love for us and then not sharing it because, you know, that's what love is all about. Amen. Thank you.
Please join me for the prayers of the people found on page 387 in the Book of Common Prayer. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
That thy perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Almighty God, to whom our needs are known before we ask, help us to ask only what accords with your will, and those good things which we dare not or in our blindness cannot ask. Grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself as an offering and sacrifice to God.
Pastures green, he leadeth me.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For our sins he was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself. And by his suffering and death, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who put their trust in him. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the peace.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy upon us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Grant us peace.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, we pray you graciously to behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God.